speak for me, my covering. It is your glory. We need the blood. We plead the blood. Receive the blood, the blood of Christ. We need the blood. We plead the blood. Receive the blood, the blood of Christ. He's here. He's here. His precious blood.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. We give God thanks for this another opportunity to be in his presence. We take it not lightly. It's because of his grace and his mercy why we are not consumed. Amen. Great is his mercies towards us, and we take it not lightly. Good evening, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to another Bible study. 10th day of the first month in the new year's 2026, and it's indeed a blessing. Amen. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Amen, 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 amen. How are you feeling this evening? Are you blessed? Is it good to be here?
It is good to be alive. Amen. God is
good to be here.
Yes, it is good to be here.
Yes, yes, yes. And we come expecting, right? We come with an expectancy. We come that there will be a word that is released this evening that will meet us at the very crossroad that we may be at, right? Something that to give us strength for the journey ahead. How many of you know that the faith that is delivered unto you, you have to continue to exercise it, to water it. This is going to become dormant, and you don't want it to become dormant. So it's good to hear the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of Almighty God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you that you're indeed among us as a people. John the Revelator saw you moving among the candlesticks. And we know, mighty God, that you're among us even this evening. Your word tells us that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that your presence will go with us. We know, mighty God, that we need you because we have come upon hurdles and obstacles in our path that we had no control over. But when Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. We thank you, mighty God, that we can depend on you and on your word. And so here we are again around your word. Teach us, Lord. Open holy scriptures to us so that we can adopt it in our life and be a better person. Let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. You are my strength and my redeemer. Amen and amen. We have been having a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord over the last months or so. We are looking at 1 Corinthians. We have been so blessed to be at the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And last week we touched on 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and it stirred up some questions in our minds. One of them were, is it okay to take communion, Holy Communion, without being baptized? I don't think, after the discussion, that we all left in one accord. I think maybe, because of the interest of time, when the question came forward, never have enough time to finish discussing it. And I just think it's in the best interests that we really flesh it out before we move forward. Amen. 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 Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. All right. There we go. Yes. So this question, whether or not you must be baptized before taking communion, it has been a theological concern for centuries, for a long time now, a debate over centuries. The short answer is that while the Bible does not say explicitly, "Thou shalt not take communion unless thou art baptized," the Bible didn't say that. But the pattern of the New Testament and the interpretation of most historical Christians' tradition suggests that baptism precede communion. And we look at the scriptural pattern. One, believe. Two, be baptized. Three, then they gathered. In the New Testament, the order of event for the new believers is always consistent. Number one, they're hearing the word. When they hear the word, it causes them to believe by faith, and that produces repentance. After that, water baptism, a public profession, initiation into the body. Number four, fellowship. That includes the breaking of bread. And we look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42, 41 to 42, or rather. It speaks of after their Pentecost has fully come, and they were all in one accord, and Peter preached and stuff. And in that day, 3,000 were added onto the number to the church, and they devote themselves. The Bible said they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. That was after they were baptized. They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread. That's communion. All right. So first they accepted the message, then they were baptized, added to the number, and then they devote themselves to the breaking of bread. The great commission that the Lord Jesus would have left before ascension, St. Matthew chapter 28, it said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Right, so Jesus commands the making of disciples, initiating act of discipleship mentioned is baptism. Communion is part of the teaching them to obey, which logically followed the initiation. All right, so you would have put it like this, that baptism is like opening the front door. It's a one-time rite of initiation. It's symbolizing entering into the death and resurrection of Christ. It acts as a birth into the family of God. When you look at Romans 6, verse 3 to 4, it says that know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So the communion would be referred to like the family meal. It is a recurring, ongoing fellowship. It sustains the believers and renews the covenant. In the Old Testament, they would speak about the Passover feast, and one couldn't eat of the Passover feast unless they are circumcised. It shows a similarity here with baptism and the communion and stuff. Amen. So though the Bible didn't specifically say thou shalt not eat communion, take the communion without being baptized, then there is some implication. There is some it will show, like it will show ways that implies that communion, baptism is necessary before communion. Amen. Amen. All right, so we move on now to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that we are going to deal with unity in diversity. And the theme that we'll be looking at is the Holy Spirit empowers the church with diverse gifts for the common good, functioning as one unified body. You will find some churches and ministries not able to grow because members are not utilizing their gifts. It becomes stagnant. We see the church in Corinth was a gifted church. When we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 to 7, Paul would have said that the Corinthians church, they fall short in no spiritual gifts. He would have said that I thank my God always on your behalf by the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched in him and in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gifts, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Corinthians church, they had all the spiritual gifts that you could think of. And yet so many things were going on in there. You have members that was attaching themselves to leaders. Some say that they are of Paul. Some say that they are of Apollos. Some say that they are of Cephas, which is Peter. Some say that they are of Christ. There were a split. Even though they were in one building, they were split in thought and in actions. Their thoughts and their actions were split. And there were also members that were suing, taking each other to local courts and stuff, major issues. And one of them that Paul is addressing now is this misuse of spiritual gifts. That's what Paul is addressing in chapter 12. Particularly those that the dramatic ones, such as prophesying and speaking in tongues, which led to pride and competition, who can speak the longest, who can prophesy, and all of that. And we must be mindful of who Paul is addressing, the Corinthians church. They were in a pagan society. Amen. They worship. You would have some in Corinth worshiping pagan gods and all of that. And it's no strange thing for them to hear on a daily basis someone prophesying or someone speaking in tongues or someone giving some message of some sort. Most of them, or some of them rather, would prophesy like a date of Jesus' returns, that he's going coming back next week or tomorrow. Or they would put some dates on it, and they would prophesy. But Paul is saying that one way that we can prove whether or not they are prophesying by the Holy Spirit is to he's going to give us some guidelines, what to check, some checkpoints, what to do to see whether or not they are speaking of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes, so we're going to look at verses 1 to 3. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. And as usual, we're going to take it in little bits, a little nib, some little nibbles that we can chew on it, and it won't choke us. We won't take a lot at one time. We're just going to take 3 verses. Anyone want care to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 to 3?
Okay, I will read.
Go ahead, sister.
Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as he were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God call it Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen. Bless the Lord. Thank you, sis. Yes, so we see in those 3 verses where the test would come, or we can test the spirit. Amen. So Paul begin by addressing the Corinthians' ignorance regarding spiritual matters. The ultimate test of the spiritual gift is its confession of Jesus Christ. Verse 3 said, therefore, I want you to know that no man who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And again, we must understand that, as I said before, we're looking at a pagan community, a pagan society where they had so many worshiping so many false gods and all of that. And many wouldn't believe that Jesus is Lord, that he has been raised. He was crucified. They saw him crucified. They wouldn't believe that he was raised from the dead and he's now ascended. So if they don't have that, if they don't have that belief, right? Paul is saying that they're not testifying, their testimony is not true because they have not accepted that Jesus is Lord. Amen. And so question for discussion. How do we distinguish between genuine spiritual movements and mere emotionalism or false teaching today? Again, how do we distinguish between genuine spiritual movements and mere emotionalism or false teaching today? Anyone?
Yvonne, I would
Go
say
ahead,
that
sis.
does it line up with the word? That would be my first thought about distinguishing between spiritual gifts and of the flesh. Does it line up with the word? This is my first red flag.
Yes. Line up with the word. Amen. Anyone else? Must be line up with the word. That's one. Come on. I know you know the answer. How do we know? It must be line up with the word. Right? For us to know that it's a genuine spiritual movement. It is genuine. The church is genuine. The people is genuine. You know, so align with the word, line up with the word, right? It does not uphold the core, if it does not uphold the core message of Jesus' death, resurrection, repentance, faith, and transformative obedience. We have to question it. It must be Christ-centered, you know, are the people growing in love, for God and neighbor, humility, holiness, love for scripture, reading the word. You know, these are some of the test marks that we have to look at before we can say, yes, that movement is genuine. Sister Camille?
Yes, Deacon. Good night, everyone. I agree with
Good night,
Sister
sis.
Yvonne to say with a line, with the word of God. And another thing that I would use too, does it align with the character of God? Because sometimes, some things are said and it's scriptures that are quoted and it's from the word of God. But sometimes the situation, when you examine, how do I phrase it, Holy Spirit? It's a scripture that is given, but based on the situation that would have happened before the scripture is spoken, when you examine that scripture, it would appear as though, it's to bring more strife, the person's motive. And I hope the Holy Spirit will help me to express it how I want it to come off, because you could be doing something that is, that you are led to do by the Holy Spirit, and after you're finished, I quote a scripture that goes against what you're doing, in that moment, because the word of God is specific to different situations, and some scriptures are specific to a certain situation, because the same Bible, it's contradictory in some areas. The same Bible that says an eye for I judge it against the word of God first, but sometimes I, examine the motive of the person, and I say based on what just happened, and your quote a scripture, yes, but are you quoting it for edification, or are you quoting it in an attempt to make mischief? And if you are quoting it in an attempt to make mischief, does this align with the character of God? I use those two hand in hand. The word of God, yes, first, but then I also judge it against the character of God. I hope I explained it with clarity.
Yes, Sister Camille. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, it after the word, you know, there must be unity in it. You can't be saying one thing and it mix up, and there is confusion, because where the Spirit of God is, there is no confusion there, you know. So the fruit, it must manifest the fruit of the Spirit. You must see, it must describe love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, you know. So these are some of the defining measure of whether we can test and say, okay, that movement is of God. You know, that movement is of Christ. The Holy Spirit is manifested there. And another thing we can look at too is sound doctrine in essential matters. Doctrine that in essential matters, do believe convey with historical orthodox Christianity. And the atonement, the Trinity, the resurrection, the authority of Scripture, you know, witness, always their witness. Is it transforming life and community? You know, is it lasting? Is it can it stand the test of time? Are they easily burnt out and just the movements just break up, you know? Yeah, is it showing reconciliation, justice, and mercy? You know, yeah, so these are some of the things that we have to test for. Test it against the scriptures, as Sister Ivan would have said. The character of the leadership, the integrity, accountability. You know, so there's a lot of stuff that we can look at, you know, to show whether or not a movement is right, the over time consistency of it, how do they treat people that are suffering one way or the other? You know, is it a ministry of manipulation? Is it a church of where they manipulate you to sow, and as you sow, you'll get, so you need something, so they say, okay, so you can get this, or are you being, are you not at liberty with your praise and your worship? Are you being used? Depends on the ministry that you're in, or is it you have to be of a certain pedigree in order to be to your voice to be heard, so there is certain signals and certain telltale signs that we can look at to see whether or not the movements is of God, is of God or whatever. Amen. Yes, so amen. Anyone else, anything else to share on that before we move on? Okay, all right. So, looking at now at the diversity of gifts and the same source, in a 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the diversity of gifts, and it comes from the same source. And we're going to look at verses 4 to 11. Do we have a reader for that? Verses 4 to 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 to 11.
Amen.
I'll read.
I will read. I will read.
Go ahead, sis.
Tell my Scott. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man the profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will the word.
Amen. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Sister Scott. Yes, so we're seeing Paul emphasizes that while there are many different gifts, they all originate from the same God. Same triune God at work. He mentioned the Trinity implicitly here. He mentioned the same Spirit, the same Lord, that's Jesus, the same God, the Father. He said, no, there are diversity of gift, but the same Spirit, and they are different in administration, but the same Lord. And this, and there are diversities of operation, but the same God. Same Spirit, same Lord, same God, which worketh in all. And the purpose, verse 7, no. To one, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So there's the gifts of the Spirit, and it's for the common good. So gifts are not for personal status, but for helping others. So you get a gift from the Lord is not to elevate you, but is to help others, just like the fruits of the Spirit. It is not, it is the fruit is to help others in the community of Christ, help others on a whole, leading people to Christ. Amen. Just like Sister Camille would have used this analogy, that when an apple tree bears apple, it is not for the apple tree, but it's for those that would eat of it. Amen. It's not for the tree itself. So you get a gift is to glorify God, not to elevate yourself above measure or to boast about it. It is the gift of God. Amen. So gifts are never for self-edification, but to build up the church of Almighty God. Amen. Yes. Anyone want to share anything on that? All right. Amen. Amen. And so we'll see Paul using the metaphor of the body. When you look at verse 12 to 26, Paul, the unity through interdependence on each other, right? The church is compared to the human body. This is one of the most famous analogies in the New Testament, where the church is compared to the human body. Amen. And we're going to look at the reality of unity. Verse 12 to 14, the reality of unity. I'm going to read it quickly. Verse 12, for as the body is one, and as many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Wherefore, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink of one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Bless the Lord. So regardless of our background, whether we are Jew or Greek or bond or free, black or white, we are all baptized into one spirit and one body. The church is the body of Christ. Apostle Paul emphasizes that though it has many members, each with different roles, yet all form one body through the Spirit. You know, so the church is to be spirit-led. You know, all are baptized into one body by one Spirit and share the same Spirit. It is to be interdependent. So the strength and function of the body depends on each member's contribution. Just as our physical body is not one member but many, and all work together for the common good. Amen. So you're valuable in whatever congregation you're in, and you shouldn't be treated less than that because everyone come together for the common good. Amen. The church is the body of Christ where every member's gift and role is valuable. You know, so the oneness forms when we have that vertical connection to God. That vertical connection to God. And then we have that horizontal connection to the believers, to the saints there. So that's the oneness that is there. You see the cross. It represents the cross. Amen. The vertical connection and the horizontal connection with believers. Vertical with God, horizontal with believers. We come together as one. You know, so we must learn to recognize and affirm different spiritual gifts and ministries within the church. Because it is there. You know, it is there. Some may be called to prophecy, teaching, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, whatever the gifts are, it is in the church. You know, and it must be exercised. If it is not exercised, it's going to become dormant and you're not going to find the vibrant growth that should occur in the body. Amen. So we have to create like communities. Need to be created where members rely on each other and contribute their unique strength. You know, you'll find a lot of congregations nowadays that are top heavy. They leave all the burdens and the few that are willing. You'd find the same, you'd find leave a lot of burden on the pastor to do everything and sit down on their gifts and not using it up. And in some other ways too, people allow their gifts to be stifled because of fear. They're not exposing their talents because they are fearful to do it, because they don't want to be criticized. But the word of God say he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, comfort, and a sound mind. Love, and a sound mind. Amen. So we shouldn't be afraid to exercise our spiritual gifts or to speak boldly as the Lord has given us utterance. We should not allow whatever talent we have been given to be hidden under the bushel, but we must let our light so shine as people of God. And don't forsake the assembled together as one, because it is by doing so that the whole body come together. Amen. It is by doing so, by you putting your 1 cent, the other person putting their 1 cent, everybody coming together, it formed the whole. Amen. And everything can be unified, and there is strength in unity. When the body of Christ come together and unify, there is nothing that can stop you from progressing, whether as a body, collectively, or individually. You'll be blessed in the group. You'll be blessed out of the group. Amen. There's a blessing in unity. Amen. Sister Camille.
Amen, amen, Deacon. I just wanted
Amen.
to add that, just as the metaphor that Paul would have used to describe the church and compare it to a person's body, and we have different members for different purposes, and that is how it is with the gifts. And some gifts, to be honest, some gifts look more exciting than others and appear to be more powerful than others, but they are not. Amen. All of them are from the Holy Spirit of God. All of
Amen.
them are necessary within the church. The Lord would have allowed each of them, to operate within the church, because each of them have a role and a function. They come from the same Spirit. None of them is more important than the other. They're equally as important, and they're equally as powerful because they're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So none is more important than others. People tend to want to let their gifts be like on a pedestal, where if people are not seeing it, you don't feel as if it is being exercised. But don't, if you find yourself in that position where you think you're not you don't feel comfortable with your gift, you need to really seek the Lord, because it is to be used. It is to be used in the body to edify the body. What, no matter what it is. All right, consider the pastor. He's their word of knowledge, and he's their preaching, he's their sharing the word and stuff. What if there's not the greeters at the door, or someone that arranges the chair, or someone that keep the sanctuary clean, someone that string up the music and stuff. You don't have any audience you don't have anybody in there to minister to, because first they're going to come and say, "Oh, the music sound like that. The music don't sound right." Oh, the chairs are not arranged properly. There is dust all over the place. There is garbage all over, and we are to be mindful that it is someone that in the hospitality community, missions or whatever, the hospitality group, that would come and sweep out the church and dust the furniture, and there would be someone in the music department that would set up the music, and we would overlook that. We'd overlook them, and maybe they would want to, maybe they would want to see themselves as lesser than the person that would come up and hold the microphone and speak. But everybody come together as one because it's one body, it's the same Holy Spirit that is at work in and through each and every one of us. So we shouldn't be looked at as inferior or being superior because we have a gift that everybody can see it on the pulpit every Sunday or ever so often. Amen. So whatever the Lord has given unto you, use it to his glory. You know, when he give you a talent, work with it. He will multiply it. And if it is his desire, we're not working for ourselves, but we are working for him. We're working to please him, to give him all the glory and all the praise. It's not to elevate us in status or in any other way. It is for God's glory. So when we have a gift, use it to glorify God. You may feel as if you don't know your gift, or as if you are envious of another gift that you may think is right for you. But let God be the judge. Let him be the one that hands you the gift that is for you. And when you find that gift, it will be a blessing. When you're operating in your gift, it will be a blessing. Amen. And the reverse of that is also true. If you're operating in a ministry that you're not called, that you're not gifted to be in, it's not going to prosper. You know, there are going to be isms and schisms in the body because you're not operating in your calling, you're operating in self. You're not working off spiritual energy, you're working off mechanical energy. And you can't revive a dead church if you're not called to be a praise and worship leader and you're up there trying to lead praise and worship and trying to pump up the audience. They're not going to be pumped up because the Holy Spirit is not one of showmanship, it's one of spirit-led. You have to be spirit, the Spirit of God has to be working in you for your ministry to manifest, to come through. Amen. And you can't, and you may be able to trick your brothers and sisters, but you can't trick God. God knows what he has imputed in you for his glory. So the quicker we come to terms with the gift and calling of God, which are without repentance, he's not going to take it away from you. The gift and calling of God are without repentance. The quicker we come to terms with the calling that God has on our life, is the better or more efficient we will be as believers. Amen. Yes. So the next five verses 15 to 20, it deals with the era of inferiority. We may have touched us on some of it already, but not inclusively. You know, the era of inferiority. Verses 15 to 20. Do we have a reader for that? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15 to 20.
Amen. Verse 15.
Amen.
If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now that they are many, but now are they many members, yet but one body. Glory to
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Camille. So you see, it's easy to cause problem in the church because one may not be in their right, in their operating in the gift that God has given unto them. It's going to cause isms and schisms. You know, it's going to cause problems because the foot saying to the hand, I'm not the hand, so I'm not part of the body and stuff. You know, you become reluctant to do something because you're saying that you have been disrespected because they are sending you to clean, to work with the children or work with the working in nursery and you want to be on the choir, or you want to be prophesying, or you want to be out in the open, where you can be seen, and you're saying that, oh, I'm not going to do that because I am not this or I am not that. Amen. And it caused problem there. And so one lesson that we can learn from that is that comparison kills a community. When we compare ourselves to others, when we let others be our blueprint, it stagnates our lives and kills growth in us. Jamaican would say grudgeful and bad mind. When you grudge people for them gift that the Lord has given unto them, it causes there to be a shadow over your gift, and it can't be manifested because it is crowded over with grudgeful and bad mind. Bless God for others that has a gift and is in blessing God so that your eyes can be opened up to see your gift and claim your gift. Amen. Yes, so comparison, it kills the community. Don't compare yourself with no other. It's one body. And if you are an hand, don't try walking like a foot. Use your hand to do things. The foot will take you where you want to go. If you're on high, don't try to eat with it. Let the mouth do the eating and you do the seeing because you are the eye. If you're on ears, don't try smell through your ears. It will cause problem. Don't try smelling through your ears. It's going to cause problems. So whatever your gift and your calling is in God, in the name of Jesus, do it. Don't imitate other persons' gifts. Amen. Be yourself. Be who God have called you to be. What if the entire church were just pastors, just preaching, everybody in there preaching, everybody on the pulpit with the mic preaching? What's going to happen? It's going to be a top-heavy church, eh? Yeah, if everybody in there was were accountant dealing with the finances around the back, what would happen? It's going to have they're going to have a breakdown there because the body can't move. There's no growth there and stuff. So in order for the work of God to be effective, in order for it to really grow and expand, everyone has to pull their own weight to form the body, to form the body, just like your physical body. And there's another thing that we're going to see further down in the scripture too. If one part of the body hurt, the entire body hurt with it. If you get a hit on your foot, the whole body feel that ache. If you have a toothache, I don't know many of you ever have a toothache, but if you have a toothache, it locks down the whole body. You can't even walk when your certain toothache take you. You can't even move. You're in bed right through. And you have to be encouraging the members. You have to be encouraging yourself. Sometimes the flu will come down and then you feel so weak and you can't even walk, you can't even eat. But there's some part of your body keep telling you that even though you have the flu, try to eat something, man, so you can give the hand a little strength so you can put on your clothes. Try to eat something that you can give the foot, the feet, some strength that you can walk to the bathroom. Try to give, so each part of your body try to encourage you when you are in, when you are going through, when you are hurt or going through. You might, you may be going to emotionally hurt. Someone may have broken your heart or something. But there's something inside that just keep telling her to go on, to push on, even though you may have been hurt. But there is some fighting spirit that is still inside of you, keep telling her to go on. And so your body encourage yourself, your physical body encouraging yourself to move on. Is so the spiritual body is the church of the living God, the body of Christ. You have to encourage his members just the same, to hold up the mantle, to carry the weight just the same. Sometimes some people in the church are so hurt that they can't even pray themselves through the hurt. But you, as an intercessor, call the person up when you see it in the spirit and you pray that person through whatever bandage or whatever would hold that person captive. You break it because the ministry that the Lord has given unto you to work in the church. Sometimes your intercessory prayer can't help you, but it help another brother. Sometimes you can't even find the strength to lay hands on yourself, but there is somebody else in the body of Christ that is able to lay hands on you and deliver you. Meanwhile, sometimes your hand is so anointed that you can put it on a brother and a sister and they get the deliverance that they are needing. Your anointing is not for you, people of God. It is for the body of Christ, so the body of Christ can be effective. So if you're sitting down on your anointing and don't want to step out by faith and use what the Lord has given unto you, it's going to become stagnant. Amen. All right. So the core message of it is that no part should consider itself less important because it is different. No part of the body should consider itself less important because it is different. You know, diversity within the body serves a purpose. The way God has created us in diverse manners, it serves a purpose. And unity requires recognition, recognizing the value of each member. So the unity that is inside the body of Christ would cause us to recognize the value of each member and how important our brother is. I pray for you. You pray for me. We are all a part of God's body. So I stand with you. I agree with you. We are all a part of God's body. It is my will that we all would we will survive it all. You know, that's the determination that we should have. I stand with you. You stand with me. We are all a part of God's body. Agree with me. And that's where you find unity. That's where you find strength. That's where you find the anointing and the liberty of the Holy Spirit. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You know? Amen. So we should all appreciate each other's contributions. Amen. Whatever each have to contribute, we should appreciate it. Amen. Then the next four verses, we're going to look at five verses rather. We're going to look at the era of superiority. You know, the era of superiority, verses 21 to 26. And we closing shortly. It's 5 minutes to nine. Closing shortly. Era of superiority, verses 21 to 26. Anyone there want to read?
Yes. And the
Go
eye
ahead,
cannot
Minister.
say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, are these we bestow greater honor. And our unrepresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no needs. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now,
Amen. Right there, Minister.
okay,
Appreciate you. Thank you.
thank
Thank
you,
you,
yeah,
Minister.
and thank you, dear.
Yes, so there's no schism. There should be no schism in the body. There should be unity. It calls again for a unified body, diverse gifts, different gifts coming together for one common purpose, as Paul, Apostle Paul would have mentioned. One common purpose. So you find the prominent gifts like preaching and leadership. It cannot survive without the support, without support gifts like service and giving and prayer intercession, And God would have arranged it that way so that we realize that we need each other. We are not a one-man army. We belong to Christ. That's why the Lord Jesus would have said to his disciples, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power, and that you can so that they can have the Holy Spirit in them to enable them, to equip them for work. It's no one-man thing. We are all a part of God's body. And God would have given his gift to us, these gifts to us, so that we can be a blessing to others. Amen. It's not selfishness. It doesn't call for a Christian to be selfish and stuff. And that's why you see Paul in the last verse, you would say that he's going to show us a more excellent way in chapter 13 when he deal with love. Because if you don't have love, you can't rejoice with the brothers and sisters. You will be filled up with envy and connivingness. If you don't have love, if you don't have love, when you see your brothers and sisters walking in their calling, you're going to be puffed up, and they're going to cause for isms and schisms in the body because there is no love there. When you see your brother lay hands on the cripple and they get up and walk, you're going to be so envious of that gift so that you yourself are destroyed in your own pity, in your own self-pity. When we look at when we look how diverse and how powerful the ministry of the Holy Ghost is, we saw seven little boys, seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts. When they see the operation of the Holy Spirit, they want to covet a gift that can fit in their pocket. They want to be. They want to drive out devils, and they weren't called to do that. And when they approached the devils in the house, Prince Demon himself, they come in there and they want to bind up and tear down and everything. And they are not called to do that. And the Bible said that the demons look at them from the pit of hell and say, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know, but who are you? So it's so with us, people of God, if we try to operate out of our gifts, we'll be embarrassed because the demon identified them and said, Paul, I know, and Jesus, I know, but who are you? And the demon would beat them out of their clothes, running out of that house naked because they weren't in their calling. They weren't operating in the gifts that God has given unto them. And so it will be with us. If we are not operating in the gifts that God has given unto us, we will be embarrassed. If we make red eye and grudgeful and bad mind get the better of us, it's going to cause for a whooping disgrace. So my encouragement to you this evening, people of God, walk in your calling. Seek the Lord. Let him is the giver of all gifts. And every one of us, we have a gift. You know, I sometimes the gift that you're yearning for is not yours. You know, stay put. The Lord is the one that ele will elevate you in due season. And the way, the closer, the more you read the Bible, is the closer you get to the gift that God has for you. The more you familiarize yourself in prayer and fasting, seeking the Lord, is the closer you get to the gift that God has for you. And when you're in that gift, sometimes you yourself don't even know, but the world around you will see it, will see the fruit. You don't even know that it's ripe. But the world around you, you'd have make an impact, that sometimes you make an impact on a life and you yourself don't even know that you were so impactful on that life. Maybe to take a lifetime for you to even find out that you were you have imparted something in a life, because it's not for you, it's for to edify the church of the living God. Amen. Amen. Yes, I wish I could go on, because this the gifting is so important, you know, as children of God, as faith defenders. It's so important. The gifts are important, you know, and that's how we can be effective in kingdom building. That's how we can be effective, not to be stagnated in our own circumstances, but to rise above measures, to soar with wings as eagles. You know, when we are in our gifts and calling, you know, is not, I'm not saying that being in your gifts and calling is going to be a smooth road. It's going to be one that
Wow.
a lot of attacks going to come your way. You know, you're going to be attacked. Amen. You're going to be attacked, but you're going to have the grace to overcome. Amen. You know, we see the apostles walking in their gifts and calling. You know, even Peter, think it was Paul and Silas, when they were on their way to pray at the ninth hour of prayer. They were on their way. I don't remember the hour. I think it was the ninth hour.
Oh.
They were going into the temple to pray. And while going there, they met up and a devil himself, and they drove out that devil, and it ended up them in prison. The intention they had was to go to the house of prayer, you know, and they find themselves in prison. But something happened when they were there in prison. You know, when they prayed at the midnight hour, the old foundation was shaken. Amen. And so we just hold on. You know, God has something in store for each and every one of us. Amen. 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 Before we close, anyone have anything to share or add to what we have said? Any contribution from the floor?
Okay. Excuse
Amen,
me.
Minister.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me.
Amen.
Okay. My take tonight is that the church is one body with many parts, gifts, and each
Amen.
person, it is the gifts are unique for the edification of the body of Christ, and the gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. And we must
Yes.
accept the diversity, the different gifts that we have in the church. And we must recognize that each member in the church or each gift is important, right, to function in the body of Christ. And we must live in unity, be united, and we must serve God and build his kingdom.
Amen. 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 Bless the Lord, Minister. Yes. One Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Anyone else? Anyone else want to share before we close tonight? Amen.
I must say that each Christian has a gift. And sometimes we don't even know what gift we have. Somebody will have to point it out to us.
Amen.
Many of us have gifts. We all have gifts, and we do not know the gift that we have. So sometimes it is wise for somebody to point it out and say, you have the gift of discerning or encouragement or whatever it is. So we have to work along with that in order.
Amen. Yes, that's why it's so good to be in sync with the body so that we can that persons in the body can see God could have speak talk to them so that they could have share with us the gift that we have. You know, just like when Samuel, a young Samuel were called by God. You know, he didn't understand.
Eli,
When he hear the
right.
voice, yeah, when he hear the voice, Samuel, he thought it was Eli. And after three times, when he would have gone to Eli would have said, no, it's not him. And then the third time, he would have said, all right. When he called again, answer and say, yeah, my
Hear
Lord.
my
You know,
thing.
so sometimes we need someone to really guide us in the right direction. Sister Camille.
Yes, Deacon. I just want to. So it's not just based on what was discussed tonight. It's based on a recent study that I've done too. I just want to point it out that, as Sister Thelma would have said earlier, all believers have a gift. And, when persons point it out to us, that's when we most times we know that, we have that gift. But I also wanted to share that there are different dimensions to our gifts. There are different levels to our gifts. And, when we start, just like when the baby is just born and the baby grows and then it starts to creep and it starts to walk and it starts to run, that's how it is in the realm of the spirit as it relates to our gifts. Yes, we might have the gift of prayer and intercession, but then the more that we feed it, the more that we read the word and know the word and spend time and learn to surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit, then the more that gift will begin to grow because the Holy Spirit will now empower us, because when we have their gifts and they're not surrendered to the Holy Spirit, then the gifts will, our gifts can take us places, but when we get to those places and the character that we have is not right, then it's going to be a hindrance, for the move of God. We ourselves, the flesh, is going to interfere with it, So when
Yes.
we pray and we grow in our gifts, then the Lord will promote us, bring us to those places, because at that time, no, the character is developed, amen, and it works in sync with the gifts. So as Sister Thelma would have said, we have gifts, and when they're identified, my encouragement would be to pray on these gifts. Read what the word says about these gifts. The more we know about them, the more we'll be able to grow in them and to operate in new dimensions in them. Amen. We're not able to maximize the use or to operate in the full effectiveness of our gifts without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit there, because they come from Him, and He gave it to us, yes, but with the understanding that we're going to feed it and nourish it and it's going to grow. And if we don't keep going back to Him so that He can feed it, it will never reach its full potential. It's like a seed. You have to water it and give it sunlight and give it, it has to get the minerals and the right conditions to nurture it that it may grow. And it's the same with our gifts. Amen. So outside of Christ, the gift might be there and it might be functional. It might be functional, but it will never reach its maximum potential until that person has surrendered it to God and know that it comes from God. Amen. God bless
Amen.
you, everyone.
Amen. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Sister Camille. Yes. Amen. We have to nurture the gifts. Amen, amen, amen. Bless the Lord. Yes, I want to welcome you all. God is good. I'm seeing Sister Georgia. Bless the Lord. Welcome, Sister Georgia. And I was also seeing Sister Robinson, Sister Diane Robinson. Bless the Lord. Welcome,
Hi,
Sister
good night,
Diane.
everyone. Good night.
Bless the Lord. It's
Bless
nice.
the
Good to
Lord.
see you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Amen. And yes, so we welcome you all. And we are here every Saturday at this time, worshiping God, and also on Thursdays at same time, same platform on Thursdays for our midweek worship service. This week, I will be bringing the word. This week, pray for me as I promises to be a very comforting word, in this time, promises to be a challenge as well. So come on out, hear the word of the Lord Thursday, same platform, same time. Amen. And so, as Sister Allison will prepare to close off for us in prayer this evening, one more time, anyone has anything else to say before we close, before Sister Allison come with our closing remarks and prayer? Amen. Over to you, Sister Allison.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. What a
Bless the
great Bible
Lord.
study we had tonight, talking about spiritual gifts. That is not for us, but for the edifying of the body of Christ, and not for us to
Amen.
exalt over one another. Sometimes we're in church and somebody think they're better than the other just because they're a minister. So call me minister so and so, because I'm minister so and
Yes.
so. But we're reminded tonight that we're to be humble. Because the gift is not for us, but for us to use it to glorify God. So let us go
Amen.
into prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you tonight for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy, mighty God. Thank you for your grace. I thank you, O God, for being our healer and the sustainer
Yes,
of our
Lord.
lives. Father God, you're the same God of yesterday. You're the same God today and the one tomorrow, Lord, the one that has been faithful to us and throughout all generations. We exalt you
Hallelujah.
tonight, mighty God, because you are our shield and defender, our refuge, O God, in the time of trouble and the giver of life and our purpose. Father God, as we come before you tonight, we come not in our own strength, not leaning
Mighty
on our
God.
own understanding, Father God, but leaning on the Holy Spirit for our direction and guidance. Mighty God, I give you all glory tonight. I lift you up,
Hallelujah.
Father, and I praise you, oh God, for the time that we've had tonight, studying your word, oh God, and learning about the gifts of the Spirit, oh God, and what you'd have us to do with those, oh God, to glorify you first, Lord, and oh
Yes,
God, to
Lord.
serve others through our gifts. Holy Spirit, we just want to thank you for enlightening our hearts and minds and for opening up the word to us tonight. Thank you for teaching us and guiding us into all truth. We surrender
Yes, Lord.
everything that's in us to you tonight, Father. We lay down our ambitions, our desires for recognition, and anything within
Yes,
us that
Lord.
is not of you. I ask
Jesus.
you tonight to shape us and renew us, O God, creating us, O God, a new spirit, O God.
Oh,
May our spirit, O
Jesus.
God, be aligned to the Holy Spirit. May He direct us and guide us, O God, in all our ways, Father God. I pray, O
Yes,
God, that we
Lord.
yield to your Holy Spirit tonight and we allow Him to work within us, Father God, and to burn out the dross within us and anything, O God, that is
Hallelujah.
not of you, O God, so that we
Amen.
can say
Jesus.
all of you
Hallelujah.
tonight and
Jesus.
none of us, O God. I pray tonight
Hallelujah.
that we surrender everything to you, O God,
Hallelujah.
and we
Thank
not
you,
operate in the
Jesus.
flesh, O
Amen.
God, but in your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we call upon you tonight to grant
Amen.
unto us wisdom, your
Yes,
guidance,
Lord.
and to teach us how to operate in this season. O
Yes,
God,
Lord. Oh,
you know that
Jesus.
You know the way that we should go, oh God, and how we should walk. So tonight I pray that Holy Spirit, you'll teach us, you'll guide us, and we will just
Hallelujah.
follow you in obedience. And we'll not
Hallelujah.
try to do things in our own way, but we'll allow you to lead
Yes,
us.
Lord.
Mighty God, I just want to thank you
Thank you,
tonight.
Jesus.
Grant
Thank you,
in
mighty God.
creating us a new heart, oh God, new attitude. Give us a new
Oh,
attitude, Father God, and
Jesus.
a deeper
Jesus.
desire to serve you and to love others as Christ loved the church.
Yes.
Help us to walk
Hallelujah.
in humility. Help us, oh God, to be self-sacrificial and to give up of
Hallelujah.
ourselves, oh God, and everything that's
Amen,
in us that
amen.
is not of you, Father God. I thank you for your grace tonight. Oh
Thank
God,
you,
because of your
Jesus.
grace and your mercy, we can come before your throne, asking of you, oh God, to
Oh,
help us to
Jesus.
surrender everything to you so that you can use us, oh God, in this
Jesus.
season. Oh God, you see
Amen.
what's going on in this earth, Lord, and you have called us, oh God, to be separate, oh God, and to come out from among them so that you can use us, oh
Yes,
God, for the
Lord.
greater work. So tonight,
Amen.
I pray that you'll use us, oh God. Help
Use
us
us,
to live a
Lord.
surrendered life to you, Father God.
Jesus,
Mighty God, I just
Jesus.
want to thank you tonight for Deacon
Hallelujah.
Scott. I thank you for using him, Mighty God, to open up the
Jesus.
word to us, Father God. I thank you for his ministry, oh God.
Hallelujah.
I thank you for pouring back into him tonight that which he has poured out. I pray for a double
Hallelujah.
portion of your blessing upon him tonight. Anoint him,
Yes,
mighty God, from the
Lord.
crown of his head to the sole of his feet. May he live
Thank
a
you,
surrendered life to
Jesus.
you, Father God. And may he say,
Yes,
I
Lord.
yield, I yield, I can hold on no longer. Use me, mighty God,
Hallelujah.
as
Oh,
you would in this
Jesus.
season. And oh God, I pray that that is a prayer also of
Yes,
all of us
Lord.
tonight, that we will just surrender everything to you so that you can use us, mighty God. Jesus, when
Thank
you
you,
were leaving, you
Jesus.
said, you gave us a great commission to go into all the world and preach your gospel. And your Holy Spirit is there to guide us and to
Jesus.
give us that spirit of discernment so that we'll know, Father God, who to share your word with. And oh God, I pray tonight that
Yes,
our lives
Lord.
will be a living testimony, an open book, mighty God, so that others will see you moving through us, oh God, and in us, so that, oh God,
Oh,
you can get
Jesus.
all the
Hallelujah.
glory, oh God. I just want to thank you tonight. I just
Thank you,
want to
Lord.
praise your holy name, Father God. I pray for those
Hallelujah.
tonight among us who are not feeling well, oh God. Many are on the
Yes,
platform.
Lord.
They're sick, Lord, but they show up week after week. They're waiting on you,
Oh,
mighty God.
God.
I pray
Yes,
tonight for a
Lord.
manifestation of their healing, Father God. I pray, oh
Yes,
God, that
Lord.
you'll touch each and every one of us on this platform, whatever the need is, Father God. May you
Oh,
meet them at their
God.
point of need tonight. Mighty God, as we go
Oh,
one from the other, oh God,
Jesus.
as we break for another week. Father God, I just pray that you'll go with each and every one of us. Visit every household tonight.
Yes,
Oh God, let your
Lord.
angels surround your children tonight. Father God, in your word, you said your angel encamp round about us. So tonight I pray,
Yes,
mighty God,
Lord.
that, oh God, we will abide under the shadow of the Almighty so that your angels, oh God, will always be around us, oh God. May your presence,
Thank
oh
you,
God, be ever before
Jesus.
us, around us, oh God, above us, beneath us, all around us, mighty God.
Hallelujah.
And may we always
Yes,
look to you,
Lord.
oh God, the author and the finisher of our faith. Tonight, I pray, Father, that you'll just be with us as we close out tonight and that, oh God, we'll go into this week remembering what we have studied and knowing, oh God, that we are to be humble and we are to walk humble before you and before others. Let
Yes,
us not be
Lord.
puffed out, but oh God, help us to just
Hallelujah.
rely upon you, oh God, to lead us and guide us and to do what is right in your eyes. I thank you again for tonight and
Thank
the
you,
time that we've
Lord.
had. And I pray, mighty God, that you'll just go with
Jesus.
each and every one of us tonight. It's
Thank
in
you,
Jesus'
Jesus.
mighty name I
In
pray.
Jesus'
Amen.
mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We
Blessed and
bless you,
praised
mighty
name.
God. We
Thank you. Thank
praise
you,
you, Jesus.
Jesus.
With
Thank
every
you,
breath
Jesus.
that we take, we
For you're
glorify you.
worthy,
You
mighty
are
God.
good.
Worthy,
You are good,
worthy,
good
worthy of
Father.
your
Thank you.
praise.
Worthy,
Hallelujah
mighty
and
God.
honor.
We
Exalt
extend
you
our
tonight, mighty
praise to you,
God.
Lord God. We
Thank
give
you
you
shall not be
glory.
through
We give you
worry upon
honor. We
you.
give you
Great I
praise. We
am worthy
worship
of you
you,
tonight.
Jesus.
Worthy is the Lamb of
Hallelujah.
God
We
slain to
worship you,
worship your
Jesus. We
name,
worship
mighty
you,
God.
mighty God.
You are worthy of
Hallelujah.
praise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We
We bow
worship you,
before you tonight,
Jesus.
oh God. We
Glory to
say
your name,
thank you,
mighty God. You
Jesus.
are worthy,
Thank you,
Jesus.
mighty God.
You are worthy,
Hallelujah.
Jesus. You are
Glory
worthy,
to
mighty
God.
God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God.
Yes,
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Thank you,
Jesus.
thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory
The
to
Lord
God.
bless you.
Hallelujah.
The
Thank you,
Lord keep
Jesus.
you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace. The Lord God of our salvation, lift up the light of his holy countenance upon us all and keep us in the spirit of redemption for his name's sake, now and forevermore. Go in peace.
Amen.
God is God. Amen. Greet one
Amen.
another as you go in the name of Jesus. Look forward to see you again next week, same place, same time, Thursdays and Saturdays. Amen.